Now, we discovered last week that our worship is more than just singing. I mean, it incorporates a lot of different aspects. And when we gather together for community worship on Sunday mornings, are you prepared to worship and serve the Lord our God with your entire being? Or do you just wake up, gather your family and belongings, and show up at church because that's what Christians do? Now, we're continuing to define Christian worship so that we might live worshipful lives. You know, the worship team, they usually lead us before the throne of God through song. I would like to return the compliment by leading us before God's throne this morning through preaching the word. Now, we're going to have a call to worship following this sermon by extending our time of worship through song. But first of all, I want to say, get out of the routine. And if you want, you can get your bulletin and there's an outline you can follow along with us. But first of all, get out of your routine. I mean, if you haven't noticed, we're doing things a little different this morning. I mean, it's easy for us to get to the point where we're just going through the routine of things. I mean, it's easy because we're creatures of habit. We end up going through the motions and we miss the heart of what it's really all about. You know, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 17 says, "Give ear to the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Let your hearts be turned to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What use to me is the number of the offerings which you give me, says the Lord. You burned your burnt offerings of sheep and the best part of fatted cattle. Are a weariness to me. I take no pleasure in the blood of oxen or of lambs or of he-goats. At whose request do you come before me, making my house unclean with your feet? Give me no more false offerings. The smoke of burning flesh is disgusting to me. So are your new moons and Sabbaths and your holy meetings. Your new moons and your regular feasts are a grief to my soul. They are a weight in my spirit. I am crushed under them. And when your hands are stretched out to me, my eyes will be turned away from you. Even though you go on making prayers, I will not give ear. Your hands are full of blood. Be washed, making yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Let there be an end of sinning. Take pleasure in well-doing. Let your ways be upright. Keep down the cruel, giving a right decision for the child who has no father. See to the cause of the widow." See, God's not talking to Sodom and Gomorrah here. He's talking to Israel. He's being sarcastic because that is how they're acting. But wait, aren't this the things that God told them to do? Well, yes. And they have done them so long that they can do them with their eyes closed. It has become a routine. There's no heart in what they're doing. You know, over in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit, He broke up the routine. You know, He must have gotten lost. I mean, He only appeared to people on the mountain or in the temple. But in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, He makes a wrong turn and He ends up in the upper room. And from that point on, he went from appearing in holy places to appearing in holy people. You know, I believe that routine is one of the killers of worship. I mean, we do the same thing so long that it becomes a lip service. You know, what if in your marriage, your husband had a checklist, ladies, that he went off of every morning? You know, first, wake up, check. Number two, get dressed, check. Brush teeth, check. Say I love you, check. I mean, you get my point. It doesn't really mean anything. It's only lip service. But we are creatures of habit, and falling into that trap is easy to do. You know, first of all, every Sunday you get up out of that same old bed. You take a shower in that same old shower. You put on the same old clothes. You might watch that same old television before you walk out that same old door to get in that same old car to maybe drive down the same old road tried to park in the same old spot, go into the old building to sit in the same old pew, hear the same old songs, listen to the same old crazy preacher, leave the same old way, go to the same old restaurant, and live the same old way the rest of the week. Now, I'm not saying that having a routine is bad, but when it gets in the way of worshiping and causing others to stumble, then it's bad. For example, when sitting in the same pew is so important that you would ask a visitor to move, that's wrong. I mean, when singing songs that you don't like, whether hymns or choruses, and you complain, that's wrong. Remember, I said last week that we are not the audience. God is the audience. It doesn't matter what song we sing. All that matters is, are you singing it to Him? You know, back in Macon, I was at an elderly man's funeral that had passed away, and he wanted our worship band to play at his funeral some of his favorite worship songs. It just so happened that a couple of his favorite songs happened to be choruses. Now, there were some ladies, two ladies from the church that came that they only liked hymns. They didn't like choruses. So when the band would play the choruses, these two ladies would put their fingers over their ears as a sign of protest. You know, that is sad. That's wrong. You know, Philippians chapter 2, verse 21 says, "For everyone who looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." You know, Jesus says for us to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to Him. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that is what our worship is the giving thanks to God for what He's done for us, what He has provided for us, what He has given to us through Jesus Christ. Secondly, we're to prepare your hearts for worship. Prepare your hearts to meet the Lord every day of the week, but especially on Sunday mornings. I mean, seek the Lord in the Word of God, meditation and prayer. Come expecting to experience His presence and witness His power. You know, I think that we need to approach God with an attitude of repentance and humility. You know, one way that we do that is to come to church prepared. I mean, think about it. If you are going to run a big race, you would prepare by stretching and warming up. If you are going to take a big test, you would prepare by studying. If you are given the honor to meet a king or maybe a president to discuss your ideas on certain issues, you would prepare by making an outline and writing your ideas down so that you would have all your ducks in a row. If you ever been in a skit or had to do something up in front of people, you prepare so what you're doing will be pleasing to the audience. But who's the audience? You know, I think we need to take 30, maybe 45 minutes every Sunday to prepare our hearts for worship before we even get here. You know, I get here 1 to 2 hours before anyone else to prepare my heart, but I'm a mess. But what would happen if next week we got up early, didn't turn on the TV, got ready and sat down as an individual or maybe as a couple or as a family, and through Bible reading and prayer, you prepare your hearts to come before the Lord? You know, also we need to get excited about our worship. I mean, clap your hands, get on your knees, shout to the Lord, raise your hand. Now, I know some people might say, "Ricky, you're not going to be turning us into a charismatic church, are you?" Now, I didn't even say that C word. But, you know, in our culture, we have related certain expressions of worship, certain forms of worship, with certain people instead of realizing it's really biblical. You know, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. You know, some churches would never consider that. But why not? It's biblical. Yeah, but the stuff like that, it's not for me. Now we're getting somewhere, because it's not for you. It's for Him. You know, I've been to stuff like CIY, Christ and Youth conferences and other conferences, and the worship, I mean, it's amazing. You're clapping, you're raising your hands, you're on your knees, you're jumping up and down, turning the song, during the songs, and the kids that I was with are just standing there. You see, in their thinking, they don't want to do it because they think they will stand out and look silly. But what they really didn't realize is that they're the ones that they're the only ones not getting into it. They're the ones standing out. But you know, by the third day, they're totally into it and they're loving it. Then we'd come back to from the event into a congregation where that kind of behavior is forbidden. You know, King David, he had a wife, Dave McCall. She didn't think it was appropriate to do things like that stuff. Listen, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13 through 23, says, when those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and sounds of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in a place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israel, of Israelites, both men and women. And all the people went to their homes. Now when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. See, David modeled what was in his heart. King David knew how to worship. I mean, he worshiped with his whole being. He poured out the deep, passionate love he had for God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, is this how we worship God? I mean, David was so caught up in worshiping God that he didn't notice his revealing ephod, his underwear. And Michal, she was so caught up in watching David and his revealing underwear that she forgot to worship. See, David worshiped with his whole heart, his whole mind, his whole strength, his whole soul, his whole body. And Michal, she seems not to have worshiped at all. Oh, what she missed out on. I mean, instead, she cuts David down. She despised him. But yet, David refused to worry about Michal's critique. You know, over in 2 Chronicles 6:13, Solomon, now he had made a bronze platform, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high, and had placed it in the center of the outer courts. He stood on the platform and then knelt down before the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands towards heaven. Now Solomon, he knelt down and opened his arms towards heaven in front of everyone. Why? You know, maybe he thought he would be closer to the Lord if he got up on the platform. No, that wasn't it. He did it because he wanted the people to see him submit to God. He wanted it to be the demonstration for the people to see. You see, one thing we need to realize is when people come to Christ, they don't know what worship really looks like. They're going to be looking around to see what you're doing. Now, I know because I was that person looking around at one point in my life. I didn't know how to worship or pray. So I looked around. You know, some people reminded me of the man whose wife asked her husband, who always had a sour look on his face in church, if he was thankful that God made him and Jesus died for him. He said, well, yes, of course I am. So his wife said, well, you should notify your face. See, listen, just because you may be more reserved than raising hands or clapping doesn't mean you can't smile. It doesn't mean you can't show enthusiasm to those around you. Or you're excited that Jesus paid the price for your sins so that you don't have to go to hell. You know, I know for a fact that one of the things people are looking for when they come looking for God is seeing if being a Christian is boring, morbid, or irrelevant. You know, ask yourselves, what would someone conclude about my relationship to God if they watch me sing or listen or pray and interact with others? You know, one of the things I love about little children, and I'm pretty sure Jesus did too, was the fact that children, they love to express themselves. You know, I heard a story about a young man. He had received a Bible from his grandfather. He hatefully tossed it aside. He was resentful and disappointed at not being given cash. Now, years passed. One day, he casually flipped through the pages of the Bible while sorting through his belongings. Now, to his amazement and horror, a check for a large sum of money, enough to buy a new car, fell out of the crisp pages of that never-opened book. Now, his grandfather had died a long time back. The bank account on which the check was written was long closed. Tears stung the man's eyes as he realized how ugly and foolish his behavior had been. He had not been appreciative and devoted of his devoted grandfather. He had missed out on many opportunities, not only for a new car, but more important, he missed out on expressing to his grandfather how much he loved him. You know, how many of us are like the ungrateful man in this story? I mean, how often do we do that with God? See, God blesses us with all we could ever want or even need, but we stumble around either complacent or self-centered. And what a wonderful inheritance that we miss out on. See, all people everywhere worship. They worship one of four ways. They worship the wrong God the wrong way, or the wrong God the right way, or the right God the wrong way, or the right God the right way. See, if we truly worship God, then our lives, like David's, will be seen by others as we leap and dance before the Lord. See, are we dancing before the Lord with all our might? See, there's no greater freedom than in knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior. And because we know that Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate price to give us life. He became our Savior, our ransom. That is why we worship God and give Him praise and thanksgiving. Because Jesus made a difference in our lives. And so how exciting should that be that we come to say, God, thank you. God, you deserve it. You took care of us. It's all about you. It's not about me. And that is what worship is. We come to give it all to God. Pray with me. Father, we come to you today, getting out of the routine, getting out of the same-o, and telling you that we love you, giving you praise and worship Because you gave us Jesus. Because you gave us life. Because you take care of everything we need. But Father, we give it you praise because it's all about you. And we want you to hear it from our lips. Not as lip service, but give you our whole lives. And Father, I pray for everyone that is here today that we realize it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, that we're giving you from our heart. And if it's undignified, it's undignified. But it's serving you and giving you praise. So, Father, please let this be a sweet, sweet fragrance to your nose. Let this be a sweet, sweet sound to your ear as we lift you up. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.